to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. This is our Tech Roundtable, and Kasten Thomas has been leading the conversation about the Internet of Medical Things, which is a new area of concern. It's funny as, well, I shouldn't say funny, but it's been interesting as we've been delving into this, all the different electronic systems that there are in hospitals that talk to one another, and the vulnerability of those systems as well. It's almost like, I think, Rich, you did, was a little booklet on SCADA?
So the cartoon SCADA and Me, right?
SCADA and Me.
Yeah.
It's like there are these systems that are running there that we are kind of invisible to us, but are still basic to the whole process. Do you have something like that in hospitals?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But let me turn the conversation to the things that are really going to blow your mind, because IoT is not just the remote devices. It's those enabling technologies around it that create just hugely tremendous things. We talked a week or two ago about 3D printing of medication so that you can time release this. Well, you can take that same 3D printing concept and build what are called IoT ingestibles. So you actually would create something that you would swallow like a pill, and as that goes through the system, it would provide monitoring of, as an example, the gastrointestinal.
Your colon? Stomach?
Yeah. You know, acidity. What's the acidity level? What foreign objects might be there? And you could see capturing a pill that would record blockages in a colon, and when it passed, you'd be able to pull that data. And be able to have information about what's going on in the body without doing surgery.
Rich, you're shaking your head.
Yeah. I've got a friend in Sweden who has an injectable little pin. It's like from James Bond, and it goes right between your finger and your thumb. And he happens to be an expert body tattoo artist.
Uh-huh.
So he evolved into this new world. It's called biohacks. And he injects that in there, the next step for them is medical monitoring, but right now it's a digital token. And they use it anywhere in Sweden. You can get into the train station just by waving your hand over it. Yeah.
It's like an RFID chip?
Exactly.
Two RFID chips. Thing you put in the dog,
Identification. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He's got 3,000 people who've done it already.
Well, there's going to be some people who will see this as the mark of the beast. Some people, based on their reading of the Bible will say, oh, that's the mark of the beast, and, the end is near.
The end has always been near.
That's true. It's around the corner.
I've got a friend who did work with some security agencies, and he holds the patent on what's called RFID dust. RFID meaning radio frequency identifier. These little microchips that you're able to track people like the dogs and such. Right. Well, he built micro RFID dust, and they would sprinkle it in secure areas or in books. And if someone took something out, they would be able to track those RFID markers in the pages that they were carrying. Because they're walking out, they would spread it on the floor in a secure area. So they could see that person walk out with the micro dust that would just transmit and go, it's this document and it's this person.
Oh, my goodness.
And the alarms would go off and they'd have all the proof that they needed.
Wow. Oh, my Lord. And that's existing now?
Yes.
Oh, he has a patent on it.
He had a patent. They produced it. He was selling it. Long story I won't get into, but he was actually getting threatening emails from people because they were accusing him of setting up these RFID transmitters that would allow anybody to be tracked via satellite. Now, these little things are only going to transmit 2 or 3 feet.
Yeah.
So it's not possible to track via satellites, but a lot of the tinfoil hat carriers really never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Oh my goodness. That reminds me of in the 90s, so it would be 1992-93 mm-hmm. when RFIDs first came out, and they were using them for freight trains, right?
Oh,
for tracking the freight trains.
Right.
And so at the company I worked with, EDS had an IT, you know, we didn't invent them, but we wanted to see how efficient they were. So us, a bunch of geeks, would sit in there with, we'd take one of these RFIDs, throw them on a, you know, duct tape it to a baseball and throw it as fast as we could past the scanners to see if, and then someone would be sitting there with a catcher's mitt to see if we could, you know, how fast you could actually throw it and would it read it that quickly. And, you know, some of us could throw it 65 miles an hour, but not much more than that. And it was able to read it at 65 miles
wow.
an hour.
Wow.
So
things that go on in offices.
But,
huh?
But then we smashed out a window and they didn't let us do that.
Now, to me, the revolution that's coming is when, so right now, most IoT devices in your home and even in hospitals first communicate to a computer over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, right. And then they get out to the internet and the data is stored in the cloud. In the next year and a half to 2 years, they're going to start putting 5G chips in them, just like a cell phone. And now, that you know, cars especially, and now they'll be communicating with the cloud and whatever all the time. And wow. Everything's going to be communicating that way.
I saw an article. Maybe elaborate on this for me. It was saying that the shift now is going to be going from servers to the cloud. But isn't the cloud just a server someplace? What is that? And is there any significance to it?
It pretty much means you don't have to buy a server for your business or home ever again. You just spin it up in Azure or AWS or any of the other ones, and you just rent the time and the compute time.
So this is Microsoft or Amazon or Jeff Bezos has got this.
Yeah.
He's got the servers,
right.
Essentially, then.
Well, there are some really good local companies that are doing it as well. So you don't always have to go to Amazon or
Secure
Microsoft
24.
To get it. Yeah, Secure 24 one. Online yep. Technologies 123.
Online,
that.
Yes. Well, online
I don't want
technologies.
To leave anybody out, but there are literally
Liquid
100.
Web.
Yeah, there are literally at least 100 locations around town that are doing hosting, if you will.
Yep. So the significance of this is that individual companies won't have to invest in their own server farms, that they're out there in the cloud, and that is the invitation that is to use that. And you're saying, how will 5G make a difference in this?
So 5G is going to change everything because we've already had the cloud get rid of the need for your data center, right? But 5G is going to get rid of your network because now, you know, in your little corporate environment, you pay for a big T1 line to the internet, whatever.
Sure.
Or a lot more than that. But now everybody's going to have faster connection to the internet where all your apps are for Salesforce and Bamboo for HR and ServiceNow for problem resolution. All these applications sit in the cloud anyway, so you just go directly to the internet from your phone. Wow. You might tether your laptop in the office because it's going to be as high as Huawei's got tests that go up to 75 gigs on 5G.
Wow.
So, you know, in your neighborhood, it'll be subdivided down, but you'll get 3 or 4 gigs easily.
Wow.
And now you won't need your cable provider because your television's got a 5G chip and your computers all have 5G chips. I mean, the cable provider will be the one who owns those networks.
Well, that's so exactly it.
You know, money.
Yeah. And here I am putting on my tinfoil hat because I just worry about all these radio frequencies bouncing around in my head. And it's like, you know,
can you feel them?
One of the reasons that we have problems. Yeah, thanks. one of the reasons we have problems with the old Wi-Fi, the 2.4 gigahertz that is fast getting replaced by the 5 gigahertz, is it ran on the same frequency as microwave ovens.
Right.
So,
that's true.
And the 2.4 gig phones that we had around the house, you turn on the microwave oven and they get interference. And there's a reason that the microwaves run at 2.4 gigahertz, and that's because it's the optimal frequency. It was free from the government, and they opened up that space. But the reason that no commercial entities wanted 2.4 gigahertz is because it's the optimal frequency to excite the molecular cells of a saline solution. And what is the human body a saline solution?
Yep. Maybe that's where global warming comes from.
It could be.
All the microwaves are heating up the water in the atmosphere.
Or maybe it comes from the sun.
You know, I have a friend that's convinced that one of the things about people with dementia and Alzheimer's is, he says, everyone that I know that has experienced that has a microwave that's mounted at head height and, and sits there and waits for that microwave to finish warming their coffee instead of on the counter.
I don't look at the microwave when it's running because it does cause cataracts. So,
Because I am notorious for hitting the one
inside
and looking, you know, seeing if it's working. But often I'll walk. Boy, from now on, I'm going to walk away from it.
Yeah, you are.
No kidding.
So what frequency does the 5G
network? I don't know. I was trying to think of the answer to that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll have to look it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Siri? So much for watching those marshmallows in the microwave when you put a marshmallow in and it expands like 100 times.
How about a match? You ever lit a match? You get these plasmoids floating around inside. It's really cool.
I have not, but I put a mayonnaise jar that still had a little of the metal around the rim of the top.
Oh, yeah.
You got a little light show.
It was quite pretty.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, we're getting close to a break, and when we come on the other side, I want to talk about the issue, because both of you were involved in security. Where are we with security with this? Are we so far ahead with all this IoT and IoMT that we've got a lot of insecure communication going on? And as you said, 5G coming in. Holy mackerel. What's that going to do to our security? We're going to continue with Kasten Thomas in studio with us and Richard Steen and Ed behind the board. Myself, Foster Brown here. We're going to continue talking about the future that is here right now.